Take up Psalm 130. The text is Psalm 130, the entire psalm. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. This is our text. When have you ever in your life considered or entered into what you considered to be the depths of life? Have you ever? Perhaps when you lost someone close to you. Perhaps when you became sick. Perhaps when you felt quite alone. This last thing is probably right at the heart of all the other things and makes them difficult for lots of reasons. That is, being alone. That was the one thing God said in the garden before the fall that was not good. It was not good for man to be alone. And of course, as we live today in this world, shut in, sheltering in place, somewhat apprehensive about a virus, we feel kind of lonely. I know Beth was talking about this just the other day where she was missing talking to people. She was missing the library. When someone close dies, when we lose a friend, a spouse, even a child, we lose someone who knows us, who truly knows us, who we can talk to with ease that we don't have among strangers. When we become sick, we end up being more distant from others. Or perhaps when we have stumbled into a serious sin, a snare, a trap, and others know it all too well, we find ourselves ashamed of our actions. Part of the reason for that is because we are pretentious beings. Now, I don't mean to say you are, and not include myself. We are pretentious. We don't want people to think that we're sinners. And yet the whole center of everything we do in the church is that God comes to meet sinners, of which we, with Paul, are the chief sinners we know. We find ourselves ashamed of our failing, and that shame many times manifests itself with people refusing to associate with us. And so those are some of the depths. And the psalmist in our text for today says, Lord, I find myself in the depths of this life, this fallen world, with all my sins and the consequences of the fall. And yet, I hope in your word. I hope in the word of God. When we judge by outward circumstances, when we use our eyes, when we are overwhelmed by blame, when we are looking around and trying to figure out, does God still care about us? Does he still love us? Does he have a word for us? And we don't seem to find anything to overcome our need. We can wonder. We can wonder if God is for us. We seem to be like those overwhelmed by a flood of water. That's what the word means in the Hebrew. Kind of under the water. You can't talk. You aren't heard very well. You're overwhelmed. People have difficulty hearing our complaints, our fears, because in many ways, there is little to say. Or when we get older, we have very little who know us very well and who we feel comfortable talking to. They've died. They're frail. People have difficulty hearing our complaints, our fears, because they're not easy to bear, not easy to listen to. At times, we realize that and we say, well, I don't want to burden anybody with my afflictions. And so we have few we can turn to who can help. In fact, those who are called to help us through these times often direct us to God and to our prayers. The psalmist says, Lord, hear me. The affliction is heavy, and like Job's friends, the wisest thing which they did was sit silently with him for 7 days. After they opened their mouth, well, they didn't do much good. But the cries go up, Lord, hear me. And when we have been overwhelmed, we are tempted to look for something easy, something quick, something simple. When we are grieving the death of a loved one who we've been with for years, there is no quick and easy way. There's no quick, simple word. Think about it for a minute. When you lose someone close, a spouse, a parent, years and years of memories, familiarity are there, and there's no quick way to process and go through that. It can't be healed easily or quickly, and we cry out. We pray much. We pour out our words, or as the psalmist said this last week in Psalm 137, our tears have been our food day and night. And the psalmist in Psalm 130 says, and we wait. And as we wait, we wonder when the relief will come. Why does it seem like there is so little relief in this world? Luther said that ease of life is a poison for a Christian. He says, in our baptism, God begins to get us ready to die. And when we are afflicted and when we are lonely and when we are struggling with the consequences of the fall, like this virus, he says, God's getting us ready to go home, to say, I'm tired. I want to be with Christ. That's what Paul said. If we think to stand before God on the basis of our lives, that's when we start to have trouble. We wonder why there is so little relief, and we seem to know that we have no right to be heard. That the psalmist points out. If you marked iniquities, you wouldn't listen to me, for I am a man full of sin. If we think we can stand before God on the basis of our lives, on what we've done, of what we've said, even our faithfulness in prayer, we will find that as we stand before God, many words will come back to condemn us, that stand against us. But the psalmist says that he still has hope, not because he has done the right thing, not because he has protected himself and lived his life perfectly so that he can't be blamed for anything, but rather he waits because he knows that there is forgiveness with God. When we judge things on the basis of the Word of God, no matter the circumstances, we have hope. We know that there is forgiveness with God. There is no way to read the text of the Scripture without seeing that. From the fall, where the animals were sacrificed and skinned, to all of the sacrifices over and over again, to the tabernacle and the sin offerings which God commanded, set up and specifically discussed and led his people to confession and forgiveness, giving glory to God. You see, the glory that God receives from us is the glory of one who has overcome sin, death, and the devil. If we were to put on a pretense, if we were to claim we had the right to stand before him, we would tell him that we are the ones who deserve the glory. But when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We see this running throughout the Scriptures, where laid before us there are nothing but sinners with the exception of Christ. From Adam, through the patriarchs, through Moses, David, Solomon, and among others, through the disciples and the apostles and the churches. I want so much today for churches to be able to be honest with themselves and with their neighborhoods. I think the pretense drives people away. Throughout the Scriptures, whether it's the people of Israel, whether it's the prophets and the apostles, whether it's the churches, God says, I have this against you. You have failed. You're sinful. There is only one who hasn't sinned. We find when we read the scriptures the opposite of what marketing would tell us to do, that is to spin and excuse and cover up our sin. Rather, when we read the scriptures, we see man in the flesh, a sinner. Even those who walked with Jesus 3 years, you would think that they would be different, but they are plain sinners who, when things got rough, scattered, denied. Man in the flesh had to meet God in the flesh on the cross. That's where we look. That's the Word incarnate. In your Word, I hope, the Word that became flesh, hanging on the cross for us, bruised, crushed, and hated, forsaken for our iniquities. We don't excuse, we don't put on a pretense, we just cry out for mercy and for forgiveness and grace. This one bruised, crushed, and hated for us, then rose from the dead. And like Job, we have hope. We know for sure that in our flesh, we will see God. We ourselves will see him and not another. Why? Because with God, there is forgiveness. His word is full of it. His word is written to preach that into our ears and into our minds so that when we are overwhelmed, when we are alone, we realize that no, we're not alone. But there is a God in this world who comes to engage us, to find us where we are so we can wait in hope. We wait in hope for an answer today, for comfort, as the Lord through the word still leads and guides his flock. We hear his voice and we follow, even through a pandemic, even through a plague. And he will be comforted and strengthened, that is the flock, where he speaks. That's why we're here today, to be comforted and strengthened in the midst of these difficult and at times overwhelming troubles. That is always where he has promised to be, where his word is. That's what he promised the Spirit would do, to proclaim his word into our ears and into our hearts, to teach us all things, so that we don't go off into the ether, searching our feelings, trying to find out how God thinks about us from our feelings or from some space or some mystical book like Jesus' calling. We don't go looking out into the ether. We look to the Word, and the Lord will not disappoint. The Lord will answer even as every moment we open that Word. There is an answer in that Word. Maybe it takes us time to put the things together. Maybe we have to grow through the troubles and the words, putting them together, making sense of them. That the Holy Spirit will do, but he will not disappoint. He will give us strength. For it all points to Christ, and he is the answer. He is at the heart of the scriptures. He is our all in all. For the Lord redeems his servants. That is a wonderful text. When you're overwhelmed, you look at that word redeemed, and you say that's almost like an opposite. Overwhelmed means that I'm covered in a flood. Redeemed means that I stand. And that my life then begins to become fruitful, redeemed, purchased, bought back from sin, and then, no matter how thin my life feels, no matter how old and worn out I feel, no matter how useless I seem to be according to my eyes, my circumstances, whatever that might be, in the midst of this life, the Lord comes, and the psalmist says, bringing plenteous redemption. For our lives are not a waste. Unfortunately, our world, as I said yesterday, deals in death. The high priest stood up for death as if death was an answer to our problems. Death is never the answer. Christ came not to put us to death, but to redeem us, to create us anew and lift us up from the grave through his life, death, and resurrection. He redeems our lives from things that are useless, producing nothing but chaff, through the means of grace, to fruitful, beautiful lives. No matter the circumstances, no matter our strength, he does this for Israel, God says. He shall do this for Israel. We find hope where God promises it will be found, in his word. I hope in his word, no matter how badly I feel overwhelmed. For God, through his word, incarnate, proclaimed, visible, works redemption for sinful human men, women, and children. And that will never fail. He has promised at the end of that psalm, he says, he will redeem Israel. Paul says in Romans chapters 9 to 11 that the church is that Israel. We continue to hear these words and these promises. You can rest today, no matter how weak, no matter how overwhelmed, no matter how alone you feel, for the Lord is with you, and with him is plenteous redemption. Amen.